Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. The game last night, we're going to get into that here momentarily with Cardinals coming away with the win. Zach Miller is going to be with us today. So ASU tomorrow night has UCLA, and it's the Hall of Fame induction weekend for ASU athletics. And this all is well done. ASU does a terrific job with this. And Zach Miller, great career. I remember Zach all the way back at Desert Vista High School, tore it up there, then went to ASU, tight end in the NFL. He's going in at halftime tomorrow night. We'll get caught up with him in life after football. Quite a bit of college to get to as we come into the weekend. I wouldn't look at games across the board and say this is a great spat of games this weekend, but there are interesting storylines to the game. If Texas loses tomorrow to Oklahoma, is there a coaching change in Texas? And it's funny, in this day and age, you bring that stuff up. I think you have to. You can't say at the end of the season what LSU did. Assistant coaches get blown out all the time. Last night, I bounced around on the playoffs, and I'm very much looking forward. If the baseball playoffs are going to be like this for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be watching a lot more baseball, because that last night was compelling. It was terrific. So we'll get into that and a few other things in my mind as well. Joe Buck, I've got to get to Joe Buck today about hair plugs. That is making the news cycle here in the last 24 hours, how he lost his voice for a period of time. He admits in his new book that he was getting hair plug surgeries, that he's addicted to hair plug surgeries. And it speaks to our industry a little bit. So I'm going to get into that as the show moves along as well. And then Zach Miller about 10:45-ish. All right. What's on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Subway. Subway, eat fresh. Think Subway. If you're heading out to the ASU game tomorrow night and you're tailgating, you can swing by a Subway near you, pick up Subway, put your order in. Or if you're going to be catering events this weekend or in the next few weeks, holidays right around the corner, think Subway for the office lunch. Subway, eat fresh. Thanks to Subway. The game last night. If Larry Fitzgerald doesn't make the flight, like the first quarter was just, and on social media, everybody was pounding on this game is the worst. People in Arizona that are so-called Cardinal fans, man, the team looks dreadful. The national pundits saying, why is this game's awful? Here's another swipe towards the NFL and their ratings dropping. And here's Blaine Stinkin' Gabbert in the 49ers leading. And then Larry Fitzgerald, I'm watching Fitz. Every game I'm watching Fitz, it's just get him the ball and something good is going to happen. I know that's been the story throughout the years, but if number 11 gets his hands on the football, they're going to be able to score. And it comes down in this game in the second quarter where you're thinking at halftime the Cardinals are going to be down. And instead, no, a boneheaded play by an NFL player. What a shock. What a shock. Did you see the kickoff last night that the guy down in the end zone, his foot was almost in play? I mean, come on. The guy's dropping footballs before they cross the goal line. There's just stuff that those of us that have watched the game more than a nanosecond say, come on, get after it. You're going to get a taunting penalty after you get a first down. And your coach has to be asked about it by Tracy Wolfson. Obviously, we have to stop doing that. Like, you can only imagine, they get in the locker room, somebody just puts the guy in the locker and shuts the door, says, you're an idiot. This is not how we're supposed to go out and play football games and win. And so from about, 3 minutes to go in the half, the Cardinals just put their foot down on the throat of a truly bad team. And I'm not going to sit here and say it was a bad victory, but I'm going to be honest with you about it. 17 of those points come off of 3 turnovers, and the Cardinals won by 12. Do the math. They don't turn the ball over. They win the game. Not that hard. But the Cardinals capitalized on 49er mistakes. The easy narrative today is to say, oh, man, Cardinals didn't play well. That's a bad team. They won the game. No, they won the game. Give the Cardinals credit. In what has been just an angst-filled month, there are times where you just have to take a step back and not make this into the biggest thing ever. We like to do that around every game. I don't like to do that. It's 16 of these bad boys, okay? And the quality of football last night, I mean, Chip Kelly wants to play Blaine Gabbert and sit Colin Kaepernick down, and Colin Kaepernick just must be horrible. Just must be terrible. And the jokes about, well, Kaepernick can't get in the game because he can't fit his helmet in over his hair. I mean, stuff like that's just, I guess that's what you do when you're on social media. I don't know. I don't find that stuff really that funny. David Johnson was really good, but David Johnson in the first half, if we just look at almost the entire first half, there wasn't much. And, well, Michael Floyd, you guys tell me, is he going to be back here next year? Is there, you look at Michael Floyd, clank, drop, not a good game again. And, you know, the excuse making, they're not going to say anything in October about, yeah, he's terrible. We're not going to bring him back next year. You're not going to say that. Well, we want to bring him along. We hope he gets better. So if he doesn't see what's going on here, Michael, hey, hire a real estate agent. It's not going to go well here. I hope you're renting. So they get the win, and let's just take a day to say, okay, fine. Now, the injury side of it, Evan Mathis and Mike Iupati, that's a concern. Their offensive line becomes a sieve. Carson's going to get whacked around again. Eric, what did you see last night? What do you think?
My initial thought after the game was if the Cardinals were playing even an average team last night, they probably would have lost the game. My second thought was,
I'd agree with you on that.
The 49ers really gifted the Cardinals that game. I mean, they had the lead, they had the ball. It was almost halftime. And they gave the Cardinals a turnover, which they cashed in on the very next play. And you get to halftime at 7-7. Okay, Chip Kelly's got to be feeling pretty good. And then they fumble the kickoff to come out of the second half. And after that, the game just completely got away. The 49ers, Brad, are so bad. Their margin for error is so small. They're not the type of team that, oh, we can turn the ball over and be -3 in the giveaway category and win games. That they're just not built like that. Like, they don't have talent on that team. So, yes, okay, it's great the Cardinals won. Yes, it's great to win on the road. Yes, it's great to get a division win. But it's not like they won the game, and I will give them that. But it's not like I saw a team come out in the first half yesterday with their hair on fire, put the game out of reach 21-0 in the first quarter, and then coast. It wasn't like that. And it was just those Thursday games are so hard to watch. I mean, the quality of play, drop passes by both teams. Yeah, it's a 5:30 start in Santa Clara. And as Jared Cohen put on Twitter, if you've ever been to Levi's Stadium, it is so hard to get to. I'm sure the NFL loved when at kickoff, like, the stadium was like 35% full. It was just a bad look, just a hard game to watch.
Okay, so, but I'll turn around this on you. The second half kickoff, that's a play the Cardinals make. They punch the ball out, okay? They made the play. Guy's not carrying the ball crisply, smack it out, it's loose on the field. So I'm going to give them credit on that. The absolute just lunacy of a player jumping up and getting a taunting penalty when you have the ball on a first down, it's just... Like, I know that people, it may sound old, but in Pop Warner, you're not going to do that, and you get pulled off the field. You see stuff, and I truly believe that when I watch some of the stuff that I see on the football field nowadays, that the level of play is so bad. Jim Nance and Phil Simms were more into how runs were being scored in the Red Sox-Indians game last night in the first quarter and a half than they were that the game that they were watching. There were some backhanded compliments being paid by Jim Nance to Phil Simms about, hey, I told you we'd get some offense here. You know, so they knew they had a bad game on their hands. But you know what? If we're in December and the Cardinals are sitting there at, I don't know, 9-3, 8-4, nobody's going to look back and say, do you remember that dog game in early October in San Francisco on a Thursday night? That was the turning point. No, this is just getting one of them out of the way. And so, you know, the 49ers absolutely gave it away. 17 points off 3 turnovers. The injuries on the offense, that's the downside to me from last night. And, you know, Michael Floyd, I've just given up on Michael Floyd. He's not going to be here next year. He shouldn't be here next year. It's another first round pick. Have you given up on him?
until he comes out against the Jets on Monday night and has 10 catches for a buck 50 and two touchdowns, because that's sort of the Michael Floyd that we have known. I mean, he's, again, uber talented, first round pick, Notre Dame, high school parade, All-American, yada, yada, yada. And just when you think he's turned the corner one way or the other for the good or for the bad, he does just the opposite of what you think. Like, he, what, zero catches last night, was targeted twice, I think. Who knows what's going to happen in the next game, because he's just so inconsistent.
It's like a pinball going off his arms. The one along the sideline that he should, right in front of Bruce. Like, right in front of Bruce. Like, if they're going to do all or nothing next year, mic up Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell during the game when something like that happens. I would like to hear what they, you know, come on, let's do all or nothing again next year. Why not? And let's just get very real when a player does something. Like, hearing the 49ers, they did an all or nothing. When the guy gets the taunting penalty last night, and I put up on Twitter, last night a poll, do you like the taunting penalty or not? I put it over on our Sports 360 AZ handle. And it was like split. Some people don't like it. Some people do like it. And I guess if I were to drill down and say, if you're an 18-year-old, do you like the celebration? Like, who's the dude that kept signaling first down for the 49ers last night every time he caught the ball in the first half? You know, I just don't care. You made a 3-yard out pattern for a first down, you know? And then Larry just goes and just blows away these guys. Like, these fools that are on the field celebrating, like, short first downs. Yeah, does Larry get fired up? I don't know. He has the equity to do it. He's going to the Hall of Fame. You've done nothing. You were cut by the Jets. Come on. So, on the other side, we're going to get into some college football. I did not get into Tim Tebow yesterday. He makes his Arizona debut this weekend. And I think he's taking some jobs away from people. I want to get into that on the other side. And some college football, too. We'll have Zach Miller in about 30 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmann. So this weekend, with the Cardinals off, actually, they're off until Wednesday. Bruce Arians, this is why he's a player's coach. I think this is smart on his part. I want to hear this. Well, they got things to correct, and they're being too lenient or too soft and all that. Was there something to that in August in training camp? Yeah, you heard it. I'm not out there every day because they do that while I'm doing this. But I think that in the course of a season, you've got to manage players, and you've got to give players some time off to let their bodies heal up. This is a war of attrition. And so 5 games in, now the Cardinals are off today. The beauty of winning is you can give them today off, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, bring them back, and they don't play until a week from Monday. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough grind. At certain points of the season, the schedule will catch up to them. They play the Jets next Monday night in 9 days. So in that period of time, 10 days, in that period of time, will Carson Palmer recover fully enough to be the quarterback? I don't know. We'll get into that as the week moves on next week. But they'll have the Jets. Then they've got that stretch with Seattle and Carolina. My early inclination would be, if Carson's 98%, he doesn't play against the Jets. Jets stink. It's a home game. Come on. Back to Drew Stanton, though. The touchdown passes that he threw, and as the game progressed, I thought he got better and better. But if their offensive line is indeed as dinged up as it sounds, and some of these injuries could be devastating to them. So that's on the Cardinals then. Let's shift over to some other things. So tomorrow night, you have ASU, UCLA. Brady White gets a chance at quarterback from every indication. And with that, more reps. With that, more of an opportunity for Todd Graham and company over there to look at both of the quarterbacks that they have moving forward. Also this weekend, Tim Tebow. So Tim Tebow made the news cycle nationally, but we have not talked about it locally. Tim Tebow is going to play in the Arizona Fall League. And I'm sure the Fall League, on one hand, is thrilled that Tim Tebow is going to come out here to put butts in seats. I got to believe, on the other hand, they're not thrilled that he's taking a roster spot from somebody who deserves to be in there, not trying to figure it out on their own. I've actually told a bunch of my students that go broadcast the game. Go sit in the bleachers. You're never going to have a better opportunity to put down a piece of tape saying at the plate now is Tim Tebow. Here's the pitch. Strike one on the outside corner, 0-1. So, you know, you're never going to have a better opportunity than that. I'm not going to go out to see him. I thought about it. Eric, you going to go out? Does he interest you at all just to go see the train wreck? Or
you're kidding me, right?
No, I don't know. You might.
I would rather go out in my backyard and pull weeds for 4 hours than drive to Scottsdale and watch Tim Tebow play exhibition minor league baseball.
Okay, I think we should do it as a story on the website. You need to go shoot him.
That definitely sounds like a Jordan Hamm piece for
sure. That's a Jordan Hamm piece. I've already talked to Jordy and said you should go broadcast some games because Jordan's a seam head. For those of you that haven't seen Jordy enough. We love Jordy, but he is the mascot, and he's the mascot for the Arizona Fall League, I guess.
And sometimes, Brad, it's good to have a little seniority around here, you know? Like, I don't pull out a lot of cards, but when it comes to doing the Tim Tebow exhibition Arizona Fall League story, I'm going to defer to my rights.
I am busy. I have a TCU water polo match I got to go check out on a flight.
No, I don't even care. Like, I'm going to be scraping bird poop off my roof. Like, I just have other things that are taking a higher priority, so I'm sorry.
You know, here's the thing on Tebow, okay? So he's going to come here to the Valley, and I'm going to draw this over to another national story. This is a beneath-the-surface story. Have you seen what Terrell Pryor's doing in the NFL? Have you heard about what Terrell Pryor's doing?
Sure.
I mean, Terrell Pryor is killing it with the Cleveland Browns. I was reading where Terrell Pryor is probably going to make north of $40 million because he made a position change. He said, I am not good enough in the NFL to play quarterback. So I'm going to check my ego at the door and I'm going to go play wide receiver. And all of a sudden, Terrell Pryor has become this very good player on a horrible team. Let's not mistake anything here. Tim Tebow is trying to do this baseball thing with, by most accounts, unless you're Robbie Hammock, who's been working with him in Scottsdale, he's not going to make it. He's just doing this. He's trying to figure it out. The attendance record, the highest attendance in the history of the Fall League, guess when it was? When Michael Jordan played. Of course it was. So is Tim Tebow going to set some records and get some people out there to watch him play? I would think that there would have to be that. I was told yesterday, though, that Tim Tebow is not going to be here on weekends. He's going to go do his SEC network assignment. Is that right? Is that fair? Is that what the Fall League's all about? I mean, is it just kind of like, yeah, I got a foot in the water over here, but I got to go analyze Vanderbilt against Kentucky this weekend? I mean, come on. We all have our jobs to do. So there's part of me on the Tebow thing. There's actually a big part of me that is I have no ill will against him. But come on, if you're going to come out here and be in the Fall League, then be in the Fall League. Tell the SEC network, you know what? I'm not going to go to Florida LSU. They're probably canceling the game because of the hurricane. But I'm not going to go be a part of that. So
isn't it great too, Brad, how our little dusty desert city continues to be the sports mecca for big events, even when it's not scheduled. I mean, let's see, we just had a Super Bowl, we just had a national championship game, we got the Final Four, and then all of a sudden this nice little Tim Tebow Fall League appearance just sort of slides into town and all the eyeballs are going to be on Tebow. It's funny how this works.
It's like how Tiger announced today he's going to play next year. Now, he hasn't said yet if he's going to play Waste Management. He's going to play at the Safeway. He's going to open up. But you could have Tiger drop in on the sports calendar here next year. Next spring training, you kidding me? The Cubs games with what's going on there? And they're opening up with the Giants tonight. I'll get that in a minute. By the way, I mentioned a little bit of college football and Florida LSU and the Hurricanes. Have you been watching Weather Channel?
No, I haven't been watching the Weather Channel, but I watch the Today Show every morning, so I know what's I'm keeping up to speed on what's going on back in the East Coast.
Have you seen these reporters that go stand out there? That's the best. Last night during breaks, okay, when the Cardinal game went to break, I go over to Red Sox Indians, and if it's in a break, I go over to Weather Channel. And of course, I've got people standing out by palm trees that are about ready to blow over, and they're trying to grab onto a pole. Remember that bit you could do in like grade school where you grab onto the pole and put your legs up to the side and hold on? Yeah, that's what they should have been doing last night.
The last time, Brad, I saw Lester Holt, he was leading a presidential debate. This morning, he was wearing a poncho, and it looked like he just got out of the shower. Like, it's amazing. These reporters, they just jump around from one different venue to the other. But, yeah, well, it's...
I'd like to put Pedro out there in, hey, go do hurricane coverage. Knock yourself out. I there's been loss of life. I understand. I am not picking on those people. I'm merely making fun of our profession. And now there's people that can go stand outside and it's like, oh my gosh, it's raining. And the ratings have been huge. Ratings have been enormous because the storm, everybody's checking out the storm. I get it. I get it. Cubs are in action tonight. We're going to talk about them on the other side in the baseball playoffs. A little bit more on the college football scene. And I may work back in on the Cardinals before we get to Zach Miller. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Former ASU tight end Zach Miller with us in about 10 minutes. So the LSU-Florida game has been postponed due to Hurricane Matthew. And Fournette wasn't going to play in that game. Fournette's off my Heisman ballot, by the way, Eric. I don't know if he's still on yours, but I've got Fournette out of there. So this is one of those marquee games. Best game this weekend is Tennessee-Texas A&M, from what I can see, what I can gather. The U of A-Utah game is more interesting to me than the Arizona-UCLA game. If Rich Rodriguez decides to play Khalil Tate at quarterback, a 17-year-old, then what he is doing is saying Brandon Dawkins and Anu Solomon, you're both done, I think. Rich has never been shy about rotating quarterbacks through. Dawkins has been okay. He's been okay. He's had a lot of injuries to deal with. I just hear Anu Solomon, it's like, is there the injuries and is the game, is he still in love with the game? That's what I've been hearing. And that, to me, the fact that Rich Rod has beaten Kyle Whittingham's a good coach, and winning at Utah, the Wildcats have won four straight over the Utes. That's saying something. And nobody's picking ASU to win. We had Jimmy Vaccaro on yesterday. Vegas, what was it, 9? I think 9 was the number. And so you've got this, you got to change a quarterback. Jim Mora is somebody that comes after you. Josh Rosen is a quarterback that is going to play at the next level. People have been looking at Josh Rosen, so it's a chance to watch him. And the other game I'll be watching tomorrow is Texas at Oklahoma. If Oklahoma wins, do they bounce Charlie Strong this week? Does it go into LSU mode down there? I'm thinking it might, depending on how they lose. If they lose, how they lose. Because the president's already had to come out and talk about it. So you know people are getting after the president.
Well, when the president says that we're not going to make a decision on Charlie Strong until the end of the season, and he said that publicly, I would think that Chuck Strong would be okay for the remainder of 2016. But if the big deep pockets come forward and push the money into the center of the table and say, hey, we need to make a change now, I guess I just don't like what would firing a coach now really do? I mean, it's not like you're gonna go hire Les Miles like halfway into the season or whoever.
You might. Look, college has become crazy, Eric. College has become nuts. We see in the NFL, they fire assist. Rex Ryan fired his offensive coordinator after a couple games. And so far it's proven to be the right move by him. I'm not a fan of his, but it's proven to be the right move. You got to give him credit. We've seen where coaches shake up their staff. What was it? The defensive coordinator at Notre Dame was blown out after 2 or 3 weeks. So these guys do not have a long shelf life. What happens in the NFL, it's like when Kaepernick did what he did. We said on this show, it's going to start happening in high school games. I think it was going to start happening with band members. Every weekend now I see band members that are taking a knee while they have their tuba doing their thing. So when it happens at the highest level, of course it's going to trickle its way down into college and even into high school.
I have a hypothetical question to ask you, okay? Because sure. You always throw me hypothetical questions. Okay, so you're Tom Herman. You're at Houston, okay?
Yep.
You make the playoffs this year at Houston.
Yep.
The Texas job comes open. You're making a really nice chunk of change coaching the Cougars. Do you jump to Austin?
Absolutely. Better conference. Even if the Big 12 falls apart, it's not like Texas is going to be thrown over to the SWAC. Right? They're not going to be thrown into the whack. It's Texas. They have the largest budget of anybody in the nation, more than Alabama, more than Notre Dame. Texas is the best job in the country, but they had a dysfunctional athletic director who we dealt with here at ASU, ran the thing into the ground. They stuck around with Mac Brown entirely too long, had him on scholarship because it's Mac Brown. The program hasn't been able to recover.
I think financially it's the best situation in the country from a team standpoint. Okay, let's look at Texas football, not good. Texas basketball, better but not elite. Texas baseball, not good at all. So yeah, the money is there, but I just think you get caught up in the Longhorn Network and we make all this money and we have our own brand and we're the state school in Texas. But when it comes down to wins, losses, winning conference championships, going to New Year's Six bowl games, going to the College World Series, going to the Final Four in basketball, Texas is way behind the curve.
Okay, so what's it been since Vince Young was there for football? Okay. So, and that was Mack Brown at the end?
It was. Well, not at the end, but it was Mack Brown.
Yeah. So when Mack Brown was kept on scholarship, in my opinion, for far too long. When you keep a coach because he's a legacy coach, rather than stick around, like Bill Snyder somehow managed to escape that at Kansas State. But there's other coaches, you know, Joe Paterno at the end, for all the garbage that happened under his watch, he still was there too long, in my opinion, at the end. Was Lloyd Carr at Michigan too long at the end? Well, we can't get rid of Lloyd. Lloyd's one of us. Was Les Miles at LSU too long? In my opinion, yeah. In basketball, okay. So Tom Penders had that program racing at one point in time. That program was really good. And then they went through a myriad of coaches, right? And Shaka's there now, and Shaka's got to make up for years of neglect. If Tom Herman walks from Houston over to UT and he suddenly walks into homes in Dallas, in the Metroplex, into Lubbock, into Houston, he already owns Houston. He should be able to go out and get anybody he wants because he's Tom Herman. And he's done it in a conference. That conference, the American, is not that good, Eric. I mean, it's got nice teams, but you tell me South Florida is going to make a run. So I'm interested in staying at Houston. I've got Memphis playing last night in that conference. It's fine, but it's a stepping stone job. No, Texas is much better. It's not even close.
Houston last year played in, what was it, the Peach Bowl? Do you remember what bowl Texas played in last year?
Doesn't matter.
That's no, right. They didn't play in a bowl game.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I guess I just see. This is what I see. This is what I see. You go to Texas, you have the spotlight. You have the hot seat. You are immediately expected to win and win big. Yeah, and if you don't, I mean, Charlie Strong has barely been there 2 years. They're like, yeah, you're gone. I mean, it's just, I just wonder about the expectations. I just, because they're not the only fish in the pond in Texas.
Eric. The defensive lineman, help me out with the name here because he's escaping me. The defensive lineman for Houston, who's just killing it, number 10.
Yeah,
Houston.
I know who you're talking about. He's a D lineman. Freshman.
Uh-huh. And he was in the state of Texas. How does he go to Houston and not go? And he's already, people are already saying this is going to be the next big thing, right? How is it that you can get kids to go to College Station? So if Charlie Strong has only been there 2 years and he's missing on guys, I don't know. I think that if you're going to fire somebody, you fire them now so you get a head start. To think that if they target, I'm not even going to throw a name out there, but if it's a top 10 coach in the country, you're going to go find that coach now through intermediaries. That coach will say, I haven't heard from anybody, which is just a bald-faced lie in one hand. The other hand's the truth. It's his agents that have heard from everybody, and he's telling them behind the scenes, well, my agent, you know, yeah. He's never going to say, yeah, I heard from Texas. I just think this weekend will be very interesting. All right, Zach Miller's next. I was going to get into Joe Buck and hair plugs, but that's too good of a story. But Zach Miller's next. ASU tight end, great at Desert Vista, great at ASU, into the NFL. He is going into the ASU Hall of Fame. That's tomorrow night at halftime. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So tomorrow night when ASU plays UCLA, I'm very much looking forward to seeing Brady White at home and in action because I think that's the way that Todd Graham's going to go with the injury to Manny Wilkins. I'm also looking forward to halftime. Halftime at ASU when it is this weekend, when they do the Sun Devil Athletics Hall of Fame, is always very special. I did not go to ASU. One of my kids has gone to ASU. I've covered ASU through the years. Remember the one time I was down in the field and it was halftime and the late Bruce Snyder and I made eye contact and I'd hosted Bruce's show forever. And then he was ill and we hadn't seen one another. And it was the last time that we were together and he got very emotional and shared quite a bit with me. And it was just that moment when he's down on the field. And I'll never forget that night. So tomorrow night, Zach Miller's going to go into the ASU Athletics Hall of Fame. And so Zach Miller, somebody that I saw at Desert Vista High School, just destroy the competition with his size. And at ASU, because tight ends, there's just something about ASU and tight ends, he did well there. And then he went on to the NFL. There's another Zach Miller with the Bears who people ask me, Zach Miller still playing? Like, no, that's a different dude. Of course, this Zach Miller won a Super Bowl, and he also made a Pro Bowl, and he's in the Valley, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame tomorrow night, and he joins us for a couple of minutes. Did I sum this all up correctly about your career, by the way, at Desert Vista? And
yeah, that's a pretty good summary right there. And yeah, I definitely get a lot of confusion with the other Zach Miller in the NFL, so it's kind of funny after this long of both us in the NFL for so long that people are still getting it confused, but they're starting to figure it out.
Spelled the same. Does he make more money than you did? Do you know this? I mean, have you checked and said, you know, that's my pension number, not yours?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL office has confused our insurance cards before, so not everyone can figure it out either.
That's probably not funny. I probably shouldn't laugh at that. Aren't you coming in for a laminectomy or a discectomy or something on your knee? No, I'm fine. That's the other dude.
We actually played each other, too, before when he was in Jacksonville and I was in Oakland, so it was interesting.
That's good. How's life post NFL career for you?
Life is good. I have three young kids. I got twin girls that are three and a boy that's 18 months. So they definitely keep me busy and really enjoying. The body's been feeling good compared to what it used to. The day after games.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Do you have a tight end there and a couple of outside hitters or soccer players or basketball girls? I mean, do you see?
Yeah, they're already in soccer. They actually have a game tomorrow morning. They had their first game last week. It's at their age, it's not a lot of advanced soccer scheme going on. So a lot of big group chasing the ball. But it's definitely fun to watch. And, it's just been a blessing to have three healthy, amazing kids.
They call that herding cats, by the way. I've coached youth soccer at that level with it's just a bunch of little herd. They just like 12 little bodies running around and they have no idea.
It's definitely entertaining, but I'm looking forward to how well they progress as they get older and start to figure it out.
What does this mean to you tomorrow night at halftime, Zach? I know it's a very broad based, easy question, but it may be difficult for you to put it into words. What does it mean tomorrow night?
I'm just honored, and I really grew up going to Sun Devil games. Being a local kid, I got my parents had season tickets to the game, so I got a chance to see Jake Plummer in his heyday, see so many games as a young kid growing up, and then getting to play at ASU was just awesome, and then now being honored and going into the Hall of Fame. Really, it's just sometimes I look back and I'm just, shocked at everything that's happened and the success I've had. And it's just a great honor for me to be going into the Hall of Fame.
Talk with Zach Miller, former Desert Vista star, ASU All-American, NFL tight end, going into the Sun Devil Athletics Hall of Fame tomorrow at halftime, UCLA, ASU with Brad Sussmat. When you went to games, did you have an aha moment when you're sitting there with your dad or whomever and saying, I could probably do this and play at the college level? Did you have one of those games you were at that you could remember?
It wasn't a game I went to. I started to feel like I had the ability to play in college, even as early as a freshman in high school. I was just so big and always performed well that I knew I had a chance as long as I kept doing the work necessary to become a better football player. So I was lucky. I had my dad as my coach all the way through Pop Warner, taught me how to be a good player, how to be coachable. And then, just had tremendous success in high school that let me pick, you know, I could have had my pick of wherever I wanted to go in the whole country and for college. So growing up as a Sun Devil fan, I wanted to be a Sun Devil to make the Sun Devils better, to make my legacy here as a hometown player going to the hometown school.
Could you have done other sports? I mean, Desert Vista, when you were there, not to take, this isn't saying anything negative about Dan Hines now in football or even in the other sports over at DV, but Desert Vista back in the day was good at basically every single sport, and you were a physically imposing player. Do you look back and say, I should have done other sports while you were in high school? Could you have done other sports?
I wrestled back in middle school and in my freshman year of high school, and then I did track and over the middle was decent and like shot put and discus, I truly didn't focus on those other sports because I knew that my calling was football. It was what I was best at, and I loved to play it. As a little kid, when they asked you what you wanted to be when you grew up, I always said an NFL football player, and so I like the fact that I focused on one sport and put all my eggs in one basket. That the fact that it was, you know, make it all the way to the NFL or nothing. So, and it worked out well for me. It made me work harder. It made me a better football player, a smarter football player. And I knew from watching Monday Night Football way back in Pop Warner days that I wanted to play football my whole life.
Your first contact in recruitment from ASU, was it a letter? Was it a phone call? Your first ever contact that you could remember that ASU showed an interest in you?
It was at the ASU passing tournament they do every summer. And I remember Coach Cutter, Dirk Cutter, was the one who, you know, first started talking to me. And then I got introduced to Coach Tom Osborne, the tight ends coach. And they really started recruiting me hard pretty early on. I think the first time I talked to him was as a sophomore, but definitely as a junior. And I know there was rules about, I can't remember, they were always following the rules. Like, not a lot of other colleges followed all the rules, but ASU always did. They offered me pretty early. They offered me a scholarship in my junior year of high school. So, I mean, I thought that was pretty special.
Were they the first to offer you?
Yeah, they were the first ones to offer me. U of A also offered me pretty early on, too.
Yeah. Was there any tug of war about going to U of A versus ASU?
I thought about it a little bit, but and my dad actually went to U of A, so he never pushed me to go to any particular school besides the fact that it would be, you know, he thought it would be nice if I was to stay close, you know, and he'd get to see a lot of the games in person. But,
sure.
He definitely didn't pressure me at all to go to U of A. And I didn't like the program at the time either.
Who did the best recruiting job on you that you didn't go to? I mean, obviously you went to ASU, and Coach Oz liked him a great deal when he was there, and Dirk, and we see where Dirk is now in the NFL. But the school that you passed on, but you look back and say, man, that coach did a great job on me, and that was the hardest phone call to let him know I'm not coming.
At the time, it was actually Tennessee. They had there's something about the SEC, and you know, I got to go to, I think another thing was I got to go see a game in November and see their stadium, and they pack it with like 110,000, and the fans are nuts. The whole city is just all Tennessee, so it's there's almost all college fans. There's not very many pro fans, so it's the atmosphere and the coaching. And Jason Witten had been there a few years before, and so they had a good resume of tight ends and that as well.
Talk with Zach Miller. Zach Miller, of course, former Desert Vista star, ASU All-American, NFL tight end. He'll go in the Sun Devil Athletics Hall of Fame tomorrow night. A couple other questions. I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time and congratulations again on the honor. Your NFL career, you mentioned off the top, your body's feeling much better. Can you put into terms for fans, when I'm down on the field and I see car crashes among players for the last 35 years I've been doing this, I can't put into words because I've never been out there. When you say your body feels much different, can you put into terms what it was like when you played, what it feels like today?
Oh, I mean, it's totally different. It's not even sometimes the games. The practices are so physical because you just have good, you have such good athletes and big guys, and stuff just happens, whether it's practice, games, training camps. They start adding up after a while, and your joints get bad, you get dings here and there. I mean, I had to play through a broken rib before the year we actually won the Super Bowl. So some of that stuff is not good for you. Like, you start taking some of those anti-inflammatories that to play with it. You could get shots to numb the pain for broken bones or stuff that's just bothering you, or, for the painkillers and stuff. That stuff starts adding up after a while, and you don't need it when you first get in the NFL. I saw the older guys taking some of that stuff when I first got into the league, and I was like, why do you even need that? And then by my last year, I found out why.
Wow. Concussions. How many do you think you had when you played?
I know I had like five documented ones, and then maybe a few others that didn't end up getting recorded. I had a few before 2009 that that's when all the rules got passed, which has really been good because, it is better to err on the side of caution about keeping guys out because you don't want to get too close together. And I think that the NFL recognizing that is finally a good thing.
Are you feeling any post-NFL in terms of concussions, or do you feel like you came out okay?
I feel like I came out okay. I'm definitely had enough concussions, though. That's another reason that, if you play long enough and you get too many concussions, you start worrying about your long-term health. I know I did towards the end of my career. So far, though, I feel okay.
That's good. It's good because I've had guys I put on the air and I can't put them on afterwards, and I'll talk to them because they're just not functioning well, and it's very sad.
I've seen some guys like that too, and it's sad. And I love football and it's a wonderful sport, but not all great.
Before I let you go, then last question: when you look at the game today from when you played, has it changed and swung in a direction that you feel like, Brad, it's still a great game, but there's this side of it or that side of it? Or is it the game is the game and this is what I love about it and there's nothing wrong with the game?
I think it's still great. Some of the spread offenses in college and then the looking to the sidelines for every play is bothers me sometimes, but that's just maybe old school probably.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, hey, congratulations on going in tomorrow night. Really enjoyed the visit. Stay well. Best of luck. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care. There's Zach Miller. It's good stuff there. Going into the ASU Hall of Fame tomorrow night at halftime against UCLA. That's great that ASU does that every year, by the way. There's some franchises that just go out there. And college sports is a franchise, guys. If you don't think it is, you're not paying attention to the dollar figures. It's a franchise. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona centric. On a weekend like this with the Cardinals off tonight, we have some high school games that are streamed through student productions over at Pinnacle High and Perry against Chandler tonight. Saturday, Eric's going to be out at the ASU game watching it. Jared and Jordan are going to be out there having a good time. I'll be watching as well, writing about it. All around the NFL as well. And then we get back with you next week. Our football show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, airs on Fox Sports Arizona. Have a good weekend.